we're going to be looking at, in the area of faith in our study this morning in Romans 3. So let's start off with hymn number 377. 377, Faith is the Victory. So let's do 377, all three verses. Let's stand and sing together, please. Better
in the shower than that. Okay, let's start all together now. Give us an introduction. If you stand along the hills of life, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle with the night, shall win the glory skies. Against the going clouds below, shall all our strength be heard.
To do this morning, and just want to start out, let's see, with a few announcements. First of all, is it next Sunday?
Yes.
2 weeks. 2 Sundays from now is the Communion Sunday, and the theme for the eating is whatever you have that you want to bring. But if you're going to prepare something, a picnic theme and sandwich exchange. Does that mean we exchange sandwiches with each other? All right, cool. That's cool. Yeah, that means I have to bring one if I'm going to exchange. All right. What do you have? I have this. All right. Well, we used to do that in the military. You get, when you're out on the field, and you get sea rations. I don't like these. I always gathered up cans and cans of the little fruit salad. And that was the only thing that was really good. So... But anyway, that'll be posted, Leslie, in the back. We've got, I don't know if you noticed, got a little bulletin board back there now, so we're official. So it'll be on the official bulletin board. So that'll be good. Let's see. And next, just kind of getting into things, Tuesday evening we're going to have a back-to-school special. And I've been asked, and so we're just going to put it out on the Internet. And I know for most schools it's a week or 2 weeks late, but I'm going to do a back-to-school special Tuesday night, and for parents and for young people. So that'll be Tuesday night. And on our prayer list, which we'll come to in a moment, but I'll just say that when we come to it. Let's talk about prayer. First of all, Jim and I drove up to Wichita Falls, Texas, to salute Vic Edwards, his farewell. And I'm going to put this on the back table. We've been in prayer for him for years. We've talked about him. So I'm just going to put back there a picture of the program or the bulletin of the of him. And you get to see a picture of Vic. And I didn't realize it, but we've been in prayer for Cindy. And Cindy and Vic met in the military. They were both in the military. And they met in the military, been married 44 years. And just it was just a real privilege to be there and to officiate at his final salute. And on the back is a picture, if you want to read it. He has children, grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. So he had quite a family. But anyway, it'll be in the back so you can see what Vic Edwards looked like. And Cindy, the last thing Cindy told me, walking from the graveside to the car, and she just said, "I just want you to know I'm going to be listening and still want my tapes." And she told you the same thing, right, Jim? Yeah. And I gave her a hug, and I said, "Well, I really appreciate that. We so value you and Vic." So that was good. But I have a kind of bad but yet good in the sense that he is with the Lord. Tisha's brother-in-law, Jim Beach. Jim Beach is home with the Lord, and his service will be Friday, if you're interested, in California. I'll be going there. It's so interesting. Jim, I really enjoyed traveling up with Jim. We just got a lot of talking, but Jim's been to a lot of, I said, to funeral services. I said, "Jim, do you just have something about funerals that you really like or something?" And I said, "Well, I guess you're not going to make it to California." He said, "No, you'll have to do that without me." And but I tell you, it is, it's nice to look out there and just see a familiar face. And just at least I know there's one person that agrees with me, if no one else does. So it's always nice to have one person that does agree. And so his service will be Friday, and I'll be flying out to conduct that. And it is an honor. I really like Jim. When I would go to California, Jim was really interested in wine, but his wine was homemade. And he'd invite me down. We'd go down, and he'd ask, "Oh, this is really good stuff." And sometimes it was. And, but he just had a enthusiasm for life. He served in the United States Navy. Big guy. And so be an honor to salute your brother-in-law and see Wanda, his wife, again. Now, I'm sorry?
World War
II and Korean vet. And that's quite a lot. And he, he's just a wonderful guy. And Wanda, his wife's wonderful. Please be in prayer for Wanda and the family, the children. They're going to need your prayers. The whole family will need your prayers. And as we've said so many times, when someone you love goes on to be with the Lord, even though you know where they are and you have that peace in your soul, there's still sorrow. You've got to understand it. There's sorrow. So we got to understand that. So we'll be in prayer for Wanda and family. And guess who's here this morning? Lila's here. Lila, we're glad to see you this morning. You doing okay? Good. All right. I told him you were in Colorado, just having a nice time, relaxing, and that was good. And then you went up, last time you saw your sister on her 95th birthday? Wow. I don't know if I want to live that long or will live that long, but that's really wonderful. Glad to have you back, Lana. And I've got a lot of names to give you and things like that, and to you. Okay. And in regard to, got Lila put down, rather than flowers, the Risley Ministry and missionaries in Mexico, and we got quite a few, so that's really nice. And let's see, Tuesday night, I've already told you the back to school special. And let's see, also as far as prayer is concerned, please be in prayer for Bill Hess. And how's Bill doing? Hanging in there. Good. All right. We run by and see Bill. And we got Tish, who keeps finding things for it to be on our prayer list. But first of all, how's your foot?
Well, it's a lot better.
A lot better. Still swollen.
Yeah.
And still hurts if you walk on it.
Well,
excessive.
I stand on it for a long time.
Yeah, okay. All right. And now your cancer.
It's kind of the same. I sent the doctor, I finally made contact with that doctor, and he requested new pictures. So Larry and I took new pictures yesterday and sent them to him, so we'll see.
Okay, Larry Lynn.
To the surgeon.
Larry Lynn.
Little Larry, yeah.
Yeah, little Larry.
Well, Larry.
Larry's father's name is Larry,
oh,
and I've always had trouble. Larry. How do I distinguish these when I want to, if they're together? And Larry, the beautiful one. All right.
Larry, big Larry would respond to that.
You're right, he would. He would respond to that.
Luckily, thank you for saying that.
Oh, my goodness. So, okay, and you sent those to the doctor?
We emailed them to him yesterday.
Okay.
So now I'm just in holding mode again.
That's the best pictures you can find to show somebody? Pictures of your wounds? Well, we'll be in prayer. Continue to be in prayer for Tish, her foot, and the poison. And I've learned a little bit more, and that can be serious. Not really death-threatening, but it can be serious for a long time. And so we're going to pray not, that it will not. And Brian, how you doing?
Good.
And you won't get any reports till September. So we'll just pray that things get better, so that September will be okay.
I fell through the cattle guard while I was taking the
picture. Do what?
I fell through the cattle guard.
She didn't need to say that. But we just got one thing. All right. Well, Brian, we'll continue to be in prayer. And so let's see. Continue to be in prayer for our Don Becker. Be in prayer for Cindy Edwards. Be in prayer for our young people and missions. We're going to take two offerings today. One will be church offering. And the other will be an offering for the Risleys, and we will combine it with the contributions from Harold Simonson and put all of that together. We'll let them know so much is from the memorial and then the other from the assembly here. But let's be in prayer for all the missionaries. Be in prayer for Joe. I was talking to John Friday, I guess it was now. And Joe's, when he comes through, he's looking forward to coming through and talking to us. Now it'll be so good. He's just so effective over there. And so we need to be in prayer for our missionaries and be in prayer for Dan and John this morning. Let's see. Dan's already done one, so he'll be doing two here in a few minutes. But John isn't even out of bed yet. And yeah, he's out of bed, I hope. And just be in prayer for our assembly, our own church. And so, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
My supervisor, Drew, Vincent, and his wife, Jean, they just lost their 29-year-old son out of a heart attack.
Oh, my goodness.
Heart attack?
Yeah.
9 years old?
Yeah. He left
29.
And he's had a heart attack?
Yeah. And it was sudden last week, and he left behind a fiancée and a baby girl.
Oh, wow. Certainly be in prayer for the family. My goodness. Do you know if he's a believer?
Yes.
Good. Very good. The Greeks didn't rewrite epitaphs. The Greeks asked one person, one question, when someone died. Did he have or did she have? Did they have passion? And Christians asked, were they believers in Jesus Christ? So just sort of your primary question in dealing with those things. So we'll certainly be in prayer. My goodness, yeah. Do they live in this area? Well, they're through your boss, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Mm. Anything we can do, let us know. My goodness, that's something. Judith Hoffman, our cat lady, had three requests of prayer. First of all, her sister, Sandy, has heart issues, and her cousin, Shirley, has family issues, so be in prayer for them. And then she went to buy a car, and it was a Muslim salesman named Sakem, S-A-K-E-M, and she witnessed to him, so be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will convict him and of what she gave him the gospel. Really interesting yesterday. You don't know what you're going to say at a service, even here, really, that will click with someone. And I just, it's sort of a off the cuff, kind of a, I put a little humor into the funeral service, and I'll say something to the effect that, you know, like in this case, Ed Vick is up with the Lord. He wouldn't want to come back, and you wouldn't want to ask him to come back. He's with the Lord, and he just isn't going to. So, after the service, this older man, gentleman came up to, well, not older, he's 63, but he came up to me, and he came up, and he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I am a believer, but he said, I've always been afraid of fear of death. And he said, you erased it this morning. He said, I've never thought about, if I'm up there, I wouldn't even want to come back. And he said, that just hit home. And he took my hand and said, thank you very much. And it's not even a main thing. It's just part of the flow of what I'm talking about. So you never know. So let's be in prayer for Sakem, and that the Holy Spirit can use whatever Judah said to him to bring him to the Lord. So that's really wonderful. And then on the, in case you're, if you have an internet and you're not on it and you don't get a prayer list, please let Leslie know. Leslie Jensen down here know, and she'll be sure you get it right. I'm not going to.
Yeah, there's a few back there.
Okay, a few back there. And but if they want on, we can get them on. Yeah, get you on the list to get it. But there's some of our prayer list back in the back. And so you might want to pick up one if you're a prayer warrior. One thing about Vic Edwards, he was a prayer warrior. Man, that guy was, he would call and we would announce somebody, something that needed to be prayed for or something go on. He'd call up, he'd ask, and he would ask how Harold Simonson was. He'd ask how Tish was. He would ask how this and that. Whatever we'd talk about, Vic would call. He was a true prayer warrior. And I remember when announced anything going on here, like the offerings were down, he'll call and I want to talk about it and be sure everything's going to be all right. I need that teaching. So he was a wonderful, wonderful man. Yes, sir. Cindy and Will, all right. Yeah, of course. So that's we need these seats filled up now. These people are going on to heaven to get out of here. We need to replace them here with some people, some chairs, some warm bodies. So let's be sure we do that. Shut the door. Turn off the lights and shut the door. The last one out. Anil is not feeling well, and so it was just Jim and I that went up to Wichita Falls. My wife skipped over to East Texas, and so Jim and I went up there, had a great time. But when we came back, Anil called and said for me to come in. She wanted to show me some theology, and so we sat down, looked on the TV, and just this one little excerpt of some movie they were watching, and this fake nun, but this nun, and the priest was asking her some questions about sin and all, and she said, well, here's my outlook on that. Jesus Christ died for our sins, and so we ought to sin to give him something to die for. Some little faulty theology there. And now we hope you get to feeling better. And one more prayer request, Romeo. Just went out and started witnessing these people outside of, I guess, a restaurant or something. Was it a restaurant or whatever it was? And he wants us to be in prayer for Orlando. And Orlando is going to be coming here in September to be with his daughter a little while, and he said, I will come in and worship with you in your church. So let's be in prayer for Orlando that the Holy Spirit may connect things and get things oriented in his head of what truth really is. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Not grudgingly means I begrudge giving this money, but I've got to do it because that's what the preacher says, and I've got to do that so God won't be mad at me. Necessity. Well, I got to give so God won't be mad. I got to give so I get a blessing. All this kind of stuff that churches do. Yeah, I got to give so God will bless me. People, the Bible doesn't teach those things. Those are made up by preachers to get people to give, put a guilt complex on them. That's giving out of necessity. No, we give out of the leading of the Holy Spirit. So the offering is not only for the born-again believer, and only the born-again believer, but not just the believer, but for the believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. It is a leading of the Holy Spirit. And these things are very important in regard to giving. Otherwise, it's wood, hay, and stubble. And somebody's going to get up there, you mean I gave thousands and millions of dollars to the church and you're burning it up as wood, hay, and stubble? I didn't have to do it? And the point is, if you do things out of the Holy Spirit, just doing them in the flesh, it's wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't matter. So if you're going to give, let's give in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take two offerings this morning. First one is our general offering for the assembly, and then we're going to do another one for the Risley family. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you that you've seen fit to use this humble assembly in so many different ways. First of all, serving each of us individually in this area, the internet, this, tapes, speaking, missionaries, so many ways you've seen fit to use this assembly, and we're so appreciative, Father. We appreciate the opportunity, the freedom to come and to worship as we see fit. This freedom provided by our military services. But we cross this with the great freedom wherewith we stand free in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. It is in the spiritual realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. What to do with our time, what to do with our money, where to go to church and why, whom to marry and why. All the decisions we make in life. Make them Heavenly Father based on the seen in the spiritual realm. So Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give now. That you will continue to use this assembly, use these offerings, Father, to the glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, I had to walk back and get some water and ask a question on the way back. The back-to-school special will be this Tuesday. I don't know if I made it sound like it would be the next Tuesday, but it will be this Tuesday. Jim Langston and I had a discussion every now and then on that very thing. When you say this Tuesday, next Tuesday, last Tuesday, which Tuesday, and which one you're talking about. And this Tuesday to me means this coming Tuesday, not next Tuesday. But anyway.
25th.
Yes. Just get right down to it. 25th. Okay. Let's take an offering now for the Risley family. We all know the whole story. It's just an amazing story to me that all five of their children are in the missionary work in Mexico, not by any kind of arm twisting or anything by the parents. They all went down there. They were little kids. And one girl has graduated from med school in Mexico. Another one's a nurse in Mexico. And they just all decided that's what they wanted to do. And I just think the funniest story in missionary work I've ever heard was they just drove their van. They were long prayer of where they wanted to go, where God wanted them to go. Came over to Mexico, got in the car and went. And went into a little village in Mexico, put up on the top of their van, a little TV, and put on the Jesus movie that the Campus Crusade for Christ puts out in Mexico, Spanish. And it was over, and they all came up and started asking questions, and not one of them could speak Spanish. Not one of them. They looked at each other. Well, what do we do now? And they didn't know how to communicate. They just didn't think about that. And but the children started learning very quickly, and they taught the parents, and so all of them now do. And they just a wonderful ministry. And Grady, since he got his new vehicle, he's able to go to a couple more prisons than he was going to. So doing that. And then I want to tell you a fun story. Most of you probably know the story of the widow's mite in the Gospels. How the woman just had a little, just a mite, and she gave it. And how before God, that was great. You see this? That's not the widow's mite. It's the other end. That's a child's mite. Emily had a lemonade stand yesterday. And she said, I'm taking my share of what we made, and I'm going to give it to the church. So this is going to go to the Risleys, and I just think that's great. I really do, hon. You can be proud of that little girl. So that's wonderful. So let's have a word of prayer. And now, I don't talk about what each one of you give, and I'm not going to do that often, but I just thought that was so cool that as little girls, I'm just going to give that to the church. I'm not sure I was that spiritual when I was that young. I worked on my lemonade stand. That was mine. So, very proud of her. Let's prepare ourselves. Any question on the Risley family? What may be going on or anything like that? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we consider it a blessing to be able to be part of what they do. There are days, Heavenly Father, where the family will lead 100 people to Jesus Christ by faith alone. There's hardly a day passes that they have not led someone, one member of that family at least, has not led someone to Jesus Christ as Savior. They go where no one goes because there is not a dime to be made from the people they witness to. They go into villages where there's just nothing but a few people. And they take the gospel. Grady, Heavenly Father, goes into a prison, walks. You've given him the privilege of being the only minister who's allowed to go in, actually into the prison and just walk among the prisoners. And he gives them the gospel. A daughter, Heavenly Father, is serving you, being a witness for Christ as a doctor. She finishes her intern, Father. We know that she wants to pray to you that she can just travel through Mexico, the little villages where they never see a doctor, and give the gospel. Another son has already got his training as a mechanic on an airplane, small airplanes, and now is seeking to be a pilot so that he can fly. His doctor sister, his missionary siblings, wherever they need to go. What a heart you've given this family. What a privilege it is for us to be a part of making it physically possible for these things to occur. Father, we pray that you'll receive the money we're about to give and that you will use it to make it able for them to go in to the areas they need to go, pay the bills they have to pay for themselves, their own medical, their own food, and travel to the areas that they go to. So, Father, we consider this a great privilege. In Christ's name, amen.
Stand and sing number 281, please. Song number 281. And we have a story to tell.
Thank you.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, my goodness. We're embarrassing her mother back here. Yes. Yeah, it's going to go on the internet. Yeah. Yeah. It'll touch upon what we did the other 2 weeks ago or the other night when they were here, but we're going to do more. Yeah. Well, I think even young children need to be aware of who they pick as friends. Turn it off when you're singing. Put it on when you're talking. Yes, it'll be, I think even a first grader needs to start being aware that they need to pick their friends, not be picked, and the thing of manners. And we look at manners as an art, a rule, and a medium. And we'll go over that and just some other things in regard to back-to-school principles. Things that would probably save me from a few problems if I'd have gotten them when I was that age. Yes, hon. 7:30. Yeah, 7:30 Tuesday night. Yeah. And don't ask me those hard questions off the cuff. Hey, when do I come here? 7:30. So, yeah. Okay. Now, I wish I'd have had some of the principles that we cover. And it's good reception. So we'll do that Tuesday night to go out on the internet and everyone can benefit from it. Okay, let's open the scriptures, if you will, to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. I like to cry whenever I can, and so poor Jim had to listen to me. We're driving up to Wichita Falls. I want to get through more passages. But I come to Romans chapter 3, and I come to verses 22 and 23, or 21, 22, and there's just so many things we need to cover in just these two verses. And like this morning, we're going to look at some things about faith. Next week, I want to look at some things on total depravity. This is a Bible church. I'm a Bible teacher, and these are things we got to be aware of. And so, next week I want to look at total depravity. This week I want to look at faith. And so we have some things to cover. And certainly I want to get on back to the text and get some work done. But this is an opportunity. In fact, the passage deals with it. So we got to cover some of these things. So let's begin with a word of prayer. And that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to the things that He'd have us to see in the passage before us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, just to come in, fellowship with other believers, pray, give, sing, and open the text, and let your Spirit open our eyes to the things that you have us to see. We know, Heavenly Father, that we could spend a year on just one verse and still not see all this there. But pray that the things that you would have this assembly see, the things that you would open our eyes to. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. One more prayer request. I neglected John and Pam are flying. He's piloting. And they'll be back this week sometime. So let's be in prayer for John and Pam. Make a safe trip back in and reassemble with us and worship with us. Okay, let's look at verse 21, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, this is the Mosaic law, the righteousness of God, righteousness belonging to God, characteristic of God, which is different from righteousness of man, has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And we've already looked at those things. And verse 22, even the righteousness, or especially the righteousness of God, through or by means of faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction between Jew or Gentile. Now, twice in this verse, we have the concept of faith and believe. This is how clear it is stated in the Scriptures, along with John 3:16, along with many other, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, on and on and on. And yet, very few see it. They want to add works to it. You're saved if you do this. You're saved if you do that. You're saved if you go to church. You're saved if you obey the law, if you do good, if you obey the Ten Commandments. It's just amazing how many preachers and churches and teachers and Christians, hope they're Christians, say that you got to do the Ten Commandments to be saved. You've got to be good to be saved. And you're not saved if you're bad. And all these things. When the Bible is just clear as it can be. It's by faith. It's by faith, by believing in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's spend this morning on looking at faith. Now, before I even start, just want to talk with you. It is amazing how adults can sit down and argue and about faith. What is faith? What is not faith? What constitutes faith? How do you do faith? On and on and on. And seminary, this is what you fight all through your adult life. It's still being fought. Well, is this faith? Is that faith? And on, it's just amazing. And the best thing I can tell you about faith, with all of my training, all the seminary, all the Greek and Hebrew, and all this stuff, it's the faith of a child. You don't try to figure it out. You don't try to work through, what am I going to believe, what is believe, and all that. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Yeah, I believe that. And they're saved. We get where we just go. It's to me, it's like the argument of the rapture. Paul, 1 Thessalonians, goes through how the trumpet will sound and the voice will call out. The voice will call out to those who are alive, the trumpet to those who are dead, and all will come up, and we meet the Lord in the air, and all these wonderful things. And he says, and comfort one another with these words. There is nothing that brings more division among Christians than the rapture. Are you pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, no-trib, on and on. It was supposed to comfort, not divide. But boy, we divide. All the pre-trib over here, all the mid-trib over here, all the post-trib over there. It's supposed to give you comfort. Not used for division. And faith, it just has to be so scrutinized. And so there's not going to be a definition by, I think, anyone that's going to satisfy everybody. Faith is faith of a child. It's a grain of a mustard seed. And I should just stop. Because that's all that really counts about faith. Faith that God is looking for is the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. That's very, very little. Not a whole lot. Not a watermelon amount of faith. Grain of mustard seed. Faith that a child can give. Child doesn't figure it all out. Just believes. So regardless of what I'm getting ready to do, that's my message on faith. It's a grain of a mustard seed. And it's a faith that a child can give. Faith that a child can believe in Christ, believe in the Holy Spirit. So that's it. Now let's go to a secondary study of faith and take a look and get complicated, get confused, and get all this stuff done, because we're adults and we're sound thinkers. We're going to think our way through all of this. So I hope I don't confuse anyone with our secondary study. Okay, point one. People have tried to define faith. Augustine, he said, I believe that I may understand. And there's some truth to that. Another one, faith is the conviction that something is true. Another one, faith means abandoning all trust in one's own resources, mental, emotional, and the senses. Faith means casting oneself unreservedly on the mercy of God. Faith means laying hold of the promises of God in Christ, relying entirely on the finished work of Christ on the cross for salvation, and on the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God for daily strength. Faith implies complete reliance on God. And it goes on and on and on. Let's see what the Bible says. How about that? It's a Bible church. Let's see what the Bible says. Well, we turn to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. And even this one doesn't satisfy a lot of people. They go, well, yeah, but, and then you got to add to it. It's kind of like what they do with a gospel passage. Well, it says just believe in Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, but. Always be careful with but. You're going to get kicked, you know where. So, let's take a look at Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Just right off the cuff, let's look at two things. It's an assurance, it's a conviction. Those are two things about faith from the Word of God. Faith is an assurance, faith is a conviction. So let's take a look now and just kind of walk our way through chapter 11, verse 1. Now, in light of chapter 10, and introduces an advance in the study. Not just a continuation, but an advance. Because chapter 10 has been about faith. So now we're going to look at what faith is. Now faith, the Greek word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And it means such things simply right out of the lexicon. To win over, to persuade, to convince. It is just concepts of what faith is. Faith is... Okay, here's God's definition of what faith is. Present active indicative, and it means an absolute status. This is what faith is. Okay, so what is it? It is the assurance. The King James, the substance. NIV, being sure. The Greek word is hypostasis. Now, I'll come to that in a moment. Hypostasis. But let's get into the word. Means substance. It means to place or to set, S-E-T, under. That which underlies assurance. The word is a compound. And I'll have a little fun. And I'll do it when it really is going to help us understand something. Stasis, S-T-A-S-I-S. And stasis means to stand. It means to stand. And then hupo, I'm transliterating, hupo, H-U-P-O. And the hupo means under. It means under. All right, what do we have going on with the word? That which stands under. That which is a foundation. A foundation. So this, when we start thinking about faith, and when we look at it, it's a substance, it's a assurance, a substance, being sure of something. This is a foundation. It's the ground upon which one builds. Builds on hope, which is coming up. Build on that hope. It's what you build on. It's what it's all based upon. Now, the word, so the word faith is, it's built on something, built on a foundation. Now, another thing that I found that I had not seen before, looked up in another book, a lexicon, it's a legal term. It's a legal term. And we've already seen something that I hope you kind of always bear in mind when you open the Bible or study the Bible, that the Bible, built on three fundamental things that flow from the beginning to the end. One, that there is one God. One sovereign, omnipotent God in three persons. Two, there is a supreme being, a supernatural being called angels. And three, there is the being of man, and all of this is put into a legal term. You have the judgment seat of Christ, the wrath of God, judgment, all the way through the Bible. So those are the three things that you want to remember about when you just think about the Bible and read through the Bible. Now, those are three basic concepts. The supreme being of God, deity, the supreme supernatural being of angels, and then that the whole Bible is written in this courtroom scene, courtroom terms. So when I found this, I was rather intrigued with it. So, and I know it's difficult to kind of think when something's being read, but just see if we can stay with me. It's a legal term. As a legal term, it refers to all the evidence that a property belongs to one person. So you're claiming that this property belongs to you. So let's think in that terms. So the evidence, what is my evidence that this property belongs to me? Therefore, faith is the title deed. I got the title deed to this. It's my title deed. What is my title deed? Faith. Faith is the title deed of things hoped for. We hope, or actually comes the word hope, but it means confidence. It doesn't mean hope like I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow because I got a party plan. That's the English hope. The Greek hope and the biblical hope is a confidence. So this is, therefore, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. The Holy Spirit takes our faith in Jesus Christ, in God the Holy Spirit. He takes these things and he makes it a title deed which God recognizes and guarantees him with possession of the thing for which he trusted in Jesus Christ for. So we trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. We trust in the Holy Spirit for spirituality, recovery from sin, and to live the Christian life. And our faith that we put in Jesus Christ, our faith that we express in the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit takes that and presents that to God as a title deed so that Christ can save us and the Holy Spirit can restore us. And it's just a really interesting term, and I almost decided to do more and more with it, but I'll just let it go at that with this whole legal sense that we're in. So here's our title deed to salvation. Here's our title deed to spirituality. And what is our title deed? Our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith in the Holy Spirit. So this is how that concept works. Okay, so now faith is the assurance, the substance. See, both words come from the same meaning, the same Greek word, hypostasis. But one is translated assurance. It's my assurance. The assurance that I believe in Jesus Christ. It's the substance. That would be kind of looking at it like it's my title deed now. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's my title deed of salvation. And then it says, of things hoped for. It's a present middle participle of elpis. Hope. And hope in the Bible is not our English word hope. Hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Hope it is. Hope that. Hope I get this for Christmas. All these things. Christmas is coming. That's right. Y'all want to wear a Christmas list? No. But that isn't what this word means. It means a confidence. Confidence of things that you don't have. Confidence of salvation. You can't prove it. Confidence of spirituality. You can't prove it. So these are things that are hoped for. And then it says the conviction. So we've seen that it is the assurance. It is the substance. Now we're seeing that it is the conviction. So faith is the assurance, and faith is the conviction. The conviction, the King James says evidence. Get back to that biblical law, legal scene. Says evidence, the NIV, and certain of what we do not see. So it can mean either the Greek, to convince, to make certain, and by which evidence is proved inside your soul. The evidence of things not seen. So, what faith does, see how involved it gets? So I do this to the little six-year-old kid. Will you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? Oh, yeah, I do that. It doesn't go through all of this nonsense. This is for adults. This is for us who want to deep think through things. So, this helps us to deep think our way through what is faith. And I say that in humor, but I'm not making fun of people that wrestle with that. What is faith? What do you mean believe in Jesus Christ? I have a lot more questions. What do you mean believe or trust in the Holy Spirit? When I began to see that we're filled with the Spirit by faith in the Spirit. What do you mean faith in the Spirit? My answer is, What do you mean by faith in Jesus Christ? Did you believe in Christ as Savior? Yeah. Okay, same thing. Faith in the Holy Spirit to restore us, to save us from sin, from the power of sin. Jesus Christ saves us from the penalty of sin by faith. The Holy Spirit saves us from the power of sin by faith. Through grace by faith. It's not that big of a deal. It's simple. It's so simple that a five-year-old can do it, people. It's so simple, and I'm not being prejudiced against people, but just someone who has just one degree above a moron. He can have faith. It's simple. Christians, we try to make being saved so difficult. Well, I'm not really sure you're saved. You sin, this horrible sin that offends me. Well, did Christ die for all the sins of the world except for rejection of Him? Well, yeah, but... No buts. It's that simple. We want to make it difficult. We want to go through 20 questions to be sure you're really saved. God said, hey, grain of mustard seed, and my son, you're in. It is my desire that everyone be saved, and I'm going to make it as simple as possible. And I think one of the biggest jokes in heaven is going to be some people are going to be there that didn't want to be there. And joke's on you, you're here. Whether you like it or not, you're in. Because I've made it so simple. I've made it so easy. And that's why it's so difficult for an intellectual person to just simply believe in Jesus Christ. It doesn't make sense. Faith doesn't make sense. I don't do anything, and it's dependent on me. It doesn't make sense. It's against our whole flesh nature to just have faith. So, faith apprehends as fact what is not revealed in the senses or by rationalism or empiricism. Faith rests on the fact of reality, on the act of the fact of faith. And that's what faith is. You can't prove it. None of us can prove that we're saved. None of us can prove that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that Jesus Christ rose again, that on that cross He paid the judgment of sins. You can't prove it. And more in today's world, you babble like a fool when you tell people those things. That's our society. It's the world. Now, there is a parenthesis here. Trey told me a parenthesis this morning that he was watching, I don't know who it was, somebody on TV, and they said the Bible's all wrong, and he was just giving forth his wisdom. And Trey says, like Romans 2, being wise they became fools. And he said, the guy said, can't prove anything that the Bible says. And Trey said, you just proved it. You just proved that the Bible's right. When you became wise, you became a fool. So, well. But it's faith. It's just simple faith. I believe it. Okay, point two. Faith is an act of trust, of rest. Now, what I mean by this is that I can say or claim that I believe that this chair will hold me up. But until I go over and sit down in that chair and rely on that chair to hold me up, there's no faith. I can examine it, hit it, knock it to the ground, do all this stuff, and I can say, hey, my rational mind, that chair can hold me up. But until I sit in it, when I sit in it, that's faith. I now trust it. So this is the idea. Faith is an act of self-will, an act of consciously resting in the power, in the sufficiency, in the work, in the person of Jesus Christ, or God the Holy Spirit. Faith is submitting to this person or object to perform on your behalf and nothing you do. You can see from this that faith depends completely on the object, not on my faith. Whether or not that chair can hold me up has nothing to do with my faith. Have absolutely nothing to do with my faith. Steve could have fixed up and painted a paper chair like this and painted it all up and set it up here and just sat there and giggled until I sat down in it. It's up to that object. Whatever, it's up to the object. You believe in man? Hey, Boy, you're a sucker. You need to go see some used car salesman. And so it's always the object. Can faith in Jesus Christ save? Can Jesus Christ save? Is he sufficient? By being God, becoming man, dying on a cross, and rising again, is he sufficient to give eternal life? Or is Muhammad sufficient? Who came down, went into a cave, had illusions, came out, and started a whole new religion that millions of people are thrusting after right now. Want to believe in that? That's fine. Always remember, it's the object. Can the object perform what I'm trusting it to perform? Can the Holy Spirit restore me from the power of sin back into the light, back into His power? That's what I'm trusting Him to do. Depends on the object of faith. Have faith, man. Faith in what? Faith in what? That's the real issue when it comes down to it. Faith is a conscious act. Faith is a faith response of resting in the power or sufficiency of someone. Here, my faith in this chair will be exercised when I actually go over and sit down in the chair, and whether the chair is sufficient to hold me up or not depends on that chair. I can have so much faith in the world, and if that chair can't, my faith doesn't mean a thing. Do I believe the chair is sufficient? Go over and sit down in it. That is the act of faith. Faith in action. The second part of point two, faith is letting this person or object perform in your behalf. I put my faith in this chair, I'm putting my faith, and I'm letting it perform in my behalf to hold me up. If it is an act of faith, I will sit in the chair, and it's up to the chair to hold me up. So it is letting or allowing a person do something for you that you cannot do yourself. Okay, point three. Now we're going to get technical. By the way, when I'm through with all of this, I'm going to try to pull it all down. And somebody says, you ask you, what is faith? I'm just going to tell you what I say. But right now, we're studying what is faith. We're getting confused. We're getting all this information. And boy, we're going to be so intelligent here. But can you answer someone's question? What do you mean, believe in Jesus Christ? What do you mean, have faith in the Holy Spirit? What do you mean? And that's a 6-year-old asking you. That's a 90-year-old asking you. That's somebody at work. That's someone on your vacation. That's someone in a grocery store. And all you've got is just a few minutes. They're not going to stand there and get into a long discussion with you. And you want out either. You've got things to do. They got things to do. And they don't want 8 or 9 points. They want to know, what do you mean believe in Jesus Christ? So we're going to come to that. Point three. This is very important. For you to understand, you and I to understand. Faith is passive. Faith is passive. That is opposed to faith being active. Now, when I say faith is passive, people, I mean the whole thing we're studying is passive, but the word faith, just the English word, we have English words. I don't know if you remember this from school. I don't know if you remember we had English words that are passive, English words that are active. Greek words that are active, Greek words that are passive. Hebrew words that are active, Hebrew words that are passive. I'm going to assume the same thing is true in Latin. That's one thing I never did get to take and put it in that I wished I had of. But faith is passive. Faith is also a passive verb. So faith itself is passive. Faith, the word faith is a passive verb, passive noun. Okay. And this is so important. Because we've just seen that faith is a conscious act. So, what someone may say then, and conclude, just by that discussion, from my point two, faith is a works then. If it's an action, it's a work.
You're doing something, aren't you? That's a work. So faith is, you're saved by works. You can say you're saved by faith, but you're saved by works. So what's the difference between the work of faith, the work of confession, the work of repentance, the work of joining a church, the work of being good, all these other things? I've got to cover that. If we're going to be honest to our study, we've got to answer this question. So if we're doing something and it's a faith, that act is faith, faith becomes a work. Therefore, saved by works, filled with the Holy Spirit by works. Okay, where's the problem? Where's the problem with this? The problem with this is an incorrect conclusion, and is straightened out by the understanding why it is faith that we are saved. Faith is a passive verb, or noun, passive verb. In faith, we receive from God. It's a passive verb. So when we do faith, we receive from God. That is opposed to doing something for God. Doing something for God. So it's either we can do something for God or we receive from God. How do we receive from God? Putting faith in God. Putting faith in Jesus Christ. Putting faith in the Holy Spirit. It's a passive verb. We receive. So faith is not a work when one believes in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, or God the Father. Now while we're here, faith can... Let me just tell you now, having said that, this is a simple point. Don't need to elaborate. Let me say something. Faith can be a work. How can that be? I'm really getting confused. First of all, you say we do something, then you say, but it's not an action, it's a passive. Okay, I'll work through that. But now you're saying faith can be a work. What do I mean by faith can be a work? Let me tell you how faith can be a work. When the object of your faith is your faith, you've got to have more faith to be saved. You've got to have more faith in God to be healed. You got to have more faith in God for Him to do. You didn't have enough faith. You just turned faith into a works. Is this clear? How you can turn faith into works? You've got to have more faith. That's made into work. That means God is looking down. He's not looking at my faith. He's looking to see if I have enough faith. Do you have enough faith for Him to save you? Do you have enough faith for Him to restore you from sin? Do you have enough faith for Him to heal you, to answer your prayers? So when you do that, it makes it a work. People, anytime somebody tries to tell you, you've got to have more of something, that's a work. You need more doctrine. If you had more doctrine, you'd make it through this crisis. No. That makes it a work. You've got to have more witnessing. You've got to give more money. Let's see now. You make X amount of money, so you should give X amount of money. You're not giving enough. You're not doing enough. You're not witnessing enough. Those are works, people. All God is looking for all through our life, to be saved, to be filled with the Spirit, to live the Christian life, is a grain of mustard seed. That is the standard of measurement before God. The standard of measurement is a seed of mustard seed, and you better be thankful for that when you really hurt and you really just need God to help you through a crisis in your life. He doesn't ask you to come up with a whole lot of watermelon size of faith. You're crawling on your floor, and as David says, my interns are dragging on the ground. I can't come up with a watermelon size faith. God, all I can come up with is just that much, and hardly that much. But I do trust you in this crisis. God grabs hold of that faith. He's not going to stand back and say, that's not enough faith. You can make faith a work when you say you got to have more faith. Well, wait a minute. What about all those words in the New Testament? More faith, increased faith, all this type of thing, these type of words. We've gone through a whole study in the crisis of faith, looked at every one of those. And what those means is more areas of your life. it more. Some people just say five fingers are the five areas of our life. Now, there are multitude areas, but just five. All right, you trust God here. You trust God here. You trust God here. You trust God here. But that little pinky, that's what you're holding on to yourself. You haven't learned to trust Him there. And somebody sees you walk by faith here, 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 here. And then one day they see you not walking by faith there and they say, he's a hypocrite. He's false. No. You truly believed Him in these other areas. It's just you haven't learned to trust Him here. You haven't learned. You were filled with the Spirit on those others, but when it came to this area in your life, boom, you can't trust Him. And I'm going to be cruel here. There are men who can't trust their wives. They trust Him in their finances. They trust Him in their work. They trust Him with their health. They trust Him. They got that one area they can't trust. And they truly feel with the Spirit. He's like, but when it comes to that, boom, they're out. There are some people who can't trust God financially. Well, they can trust God in marriage, trust God at work, trust God with their health, trust God. But when it comes to money, they just can't trust God. They got to hold on to that money. I think we did it recently, but here's where it fits. It's a cold, cold winter night. Knock on the door. You go to the door. Hey, I'm sorry, I'm hungry. And you say, look, God has just given me one can of soup. That's all I got. If I had more, I'd be glad to share a can with you. All I got is that one can. So he walks away. When he walks away from your door, did he see the love of God? No. He comes by next year. Cold winter night, says I just need a little soup, and you say all I have is a half a can of soup. Come on in, it's yours. He walks away. Did he see the love of God? He saw it. You gave him just that. You gave it to him. Why? What's the difference in those two winners? The first winner, you haven't learned to trust God to supply all your needs. The second winner, you've learned to trust Him. So those words mean more faith, increased faith, large faith, no faith, all that kind of stuff. Deals with areas of our life. The people, the faith that God is looking for to save us, the faith that God is looking for to restore us, the faith that God is looking for to bless us, the faith that God is looking for to walk in faith, is a grain of mustard seed. And I hope you never get there, but someday you may be glad that all God wants is a grain of mustard seed, because that's all in the hell you can come up with. It's just that much. And I hope that's enough, God. And it is. Because faith is not a work. But anybody tells you you need to do more of something, you just in your mind say, no, that's a work. If God's looking for more, that's a work. God's looking for a grain of mustard seed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides. And that's what he's looking for. So this whole thing, this whole package, just goes together. So faith, and it's recorded in the Bible, that saves, that restores us from sin, walking, all these things, is passive. I trust you, I receive. It's receiving. Faith receives from the object of faith. Faith does nothing for it. Faith does nothing to cause it to happen. Faith just receives. Yeah, we receive salvation, we believe in Christ. We receive restoration, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We receive the fruit of the Holy Spirit, totally independent of us. We receive an understanding of Scripture supernaturally that I could never understand. Holy Spirit, we receive it, we trust Him to lead us. Okay? Well, I want to get through a faith this morning, but I didn't have enough faith. So, we'll start it here. Next Sunday morning, and I want to finish this and cover a little bit on total depravity, which is at the end of Romans 3. That'll set the pace for Romans 4. And so we'll get these things done. Any questions on the first three points of faith? Because we're going to be asked, what do you mean by faith? You say believe in Jesus Christ, what do you mean? You say believe in the Holy Spirit, what in the world does that mean? So we need to understand where we can explain to a child. But you know what? Of all the children that I've witnessed to, and when I was in seminary, I worked in a little children's class in a Bible church here in Dallas, and just little kids. And when they ask that question, they don't even ask it. That's what's so beautiful. Believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. I do. And I believe Him. I believe they believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. And they didn't ask, well, what exactly is faith? What exactly do you mean believe? Can we discuss this? Well, they believe. Christ said, like a child. Like a child. Don't superanalyze. Just believe in my Son. Believe in my Spirit. Believe in me. And I do that. But we're kind of getting it down a little bit. Or because we're advanced thinkers, so we want to understand it. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we've learned about you this morning. We study faith, but we learn about you. How easy, how simple it is to deal with you. It's so simple to just trust. It's so easy to just trust. We're the ones who complicate it. We're the ones who make it difficult. What kind of God are you? You're the kind of God that made it so easy to be saved. So easy and simple to be filled with the Spirit. And Father, we just praise you. That kind of lets us know how to deal with you in our life. If it was so simple and easy to be saved, it's simple and easy to live our life. Now the pressures of life may be difficult. The cancer may be difficult. The divorce, difficult. Death of someone we love may be difficult. But not faith. Just a grain of mustard seed. That's all you want. That's what kind of God you are. And you can save us eternally with just a grain of mustard seed. You can change us from being under total depravity to eternal life, perfect righteousness. Wow. What kind of God you are. We praise you, Father. I pray, Father, that the study will help some people. I hope it doesn't confuse anyone. I hope it just answers some questions, give us some ideas of these things we're dealing with. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.